failed to mention, Alexis and Madison did that offertory. They did a great job. Praise the Lord for that. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 12 tonight. Daniel chapter number 12. We'll look at three verses. And if you'll join me on the second verse of that, we'll look at Daniel chapter number 12 tonight. Daniel chapter number 12. Stand with me, please. And I'll begin reading there at the first verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's go learn prayer. Father, again, we come, and Lord, we thank you so much for the young people of the church, and Lord, how they work to learn and to work at a talent, and then, Lord, how they're using that for your honor and your glory. Lord, here in the service, I pray, Lord, that we continue to see that. But Lord, we ask at this time that you please be with the preaching time. I ask that you please speak to our hearts, that you would, Lord, that your word would have free course in us, and that we'd allow for you to speak to our hearts, that we'd be tender to what you have for us tonight. Pray, Lord, that you please bless the special. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, your honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains, they were broken, I'd been born again. That moment when mercy walked in, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
Thank you, Brother Nick. I've enjoyed the music. That's a blessing. Good singing, ladies. I enjoyed that piano duet. That was really nice, and I appreciate y'all doing that. That was teacher and student, I think. Isn't that right? Teacher and student. So that was great. Thank you so much for that. I have something to give you tonight. Our ushers have these, and I want to pass them out now so that you'll have them. Something that will help get prepared for the missions conference. So there's enough for everybody to have one, every boy, every girl, every teenager, adult. So just pass them. I do want to take up the extras. They'll pass them down the aisles. And I want to take up the extras because some folk will get them next Sunday morning. So fellas, come on, just start passing them out. But I have another bookmark for you this year for our missions conference, which begins, like I said, a little while ago, in 2 weeks. So hope that you'll put it where you read, either in a book that you're reading currently or put it in your Bible and keep the place in your Bible reading so that it will remind you to pray for our upcoming missions conference. And you'll see the theme on the bookmark, Starlight Till Daylight. And I appreciate Ryan Harrison designing this for us. Did a great job. I loved it when he sent it to me by way of email. And if you didn't hear, on Wednesday night, Ryan was here and announced that he did get a job. He's been hired. And so I know he'll be starting soon. They're on a trip that they took before he begins his new job. But he did this, and he designed the banner that's going up as well. The banner is almost exactly like what you have on the bookmark here. A little bit of change, a little bit of difference, but pretty much the same. Do we have extras? Did anybody get there? Are there just to hold them up, and the ushers will come pick those up? Thank you. If you have extras at the end of your row, did everybody get one? Everybody got a bookmark tonight? Member, visitor, doesn't matter. Everybody can have one. I hope that you'll take one and have it in your Bible there. And this is what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on this subject, Starlight Till Daylight. That's the theme of our conference. Let's pray together, and we'll jump in tonight. Our Father, please use the message tonight to prepare our hearts for this most important time as we seek, Lord, to do Your will when it comes to missions and the need for the gospel to go around the globe. Lord, to every individual, You have a desire, a will, for all 7+ billion people to be saved. It's not Your will that any should perish. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to do our part in this great commission, and we'll thank You for it. Help us tonight in Jesus' name, and amen. The Spirit of God, here's the last chapter of the book of Daniel, closing out this great book. Some extremely important prophecies throughout the 12 chapters and some great life stories. Two of the most famous and well-loved Bible stories in all of the Bible are contained in this book, in Daniel 3, the story of the Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow. And then, of course, Daniel 6, the story of him in the lion's den. But sometimes it's forgotten that this book is a great book of prophecy as well as life stories. Now, it's difficult sometimes when you read the Old Testament to know exactly what the prophecy is concerning. I make no pretense, make no boast whatsoever of being able to understand everything I read, and even I read something and then I think about it and I think, does it mean this? And then I'll read again and I think, no, it means this. And here again, that you come to this chapter 12, and it seems like it's talking about at the end of the tribulation, the close of the tribulation, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. Which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael's going to do something for the children of Israel. This should not surprise us. We should not think that unusual. Michael's the great warrior angel. He's been involved in other places in the Bible. In fact, other places in Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Intervening so that the truth could get to Daniel. Some of the prophecies could get to Daniel. And so during the tribulation period, toward the end of that time period, Michael's going to stand up and do something to intervene for the nation of Israel. And then there's a resurrection that's talked about in verse number 2. These are really not the point of my message tonight. I want you to see verse number 3, which is a familiar verse to all of us. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Here's a promise to those who bear the light of the gospel, to those who are in darkness. Those who bear the light of the gospel, God said, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever. That's our missions conference theme this year, Starlight Till Daylight. Starlight Till Daylight. Let me break it down for you with two or three things tonight. First of all, and this is so familiar, but I'm going to go through it anyway. I want to say this. Unsaved people are described as being in darkness. Unsaved people are described as being in darkness. Paul testified in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. And God described to Paul what his job was. And this is Paul's testimony, that his job was to, quote, open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Did you hear that? His job was to turn lost people from darkness to light. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, talking about saved people, Peter wrote that God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, not only are individuals in the darkness as far as sin goes and being lost, the world is also considered to be in darkness. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I'm not going to belabor this point. Darkness is indicative. It is symbolic of an individual or the world corporately that is apart from God. An individual or the world that is lost, that is unsaved, that can't see, that is blinded. And folks, we ought never forget, that's why sometimes they act in ways that horrify us. And they act in ways that are unbelievably wicked and wrong. And that's always been the case, but it is more out in the open today. It is more public. It is more broadcast today. There's less shame. We've lost our ability to blush. It's more blatant than it ever has been. And you know, you read about some of these things, or you're witness to some of these wicked things that happen. Don't ever forget that people and the world corporately are said to be in darkness. I want to tell you, the worst thing about that is, if they die in that darkness, they go to a place described as being a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness, on the backside of darkness, outside of darkness, no light, no dawn, no ray of light ever comes to outer darkness. Light is shut out. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where light is completely shut out. I'm embarrassed by this. I don't advocate this. I get very ashamed when I mention this. But for our honeymoon, my wife and I were able to spend 3 glorious days in Hannibal, Missouri. That's not the destination point for most married couples on their honeymoon, but it was all we could afford. And my parents couldn't help us a whole lot. In fact, they didn't help us at all. They drove to Iowa to attend the wedding and had motel expense and all that stuff. And her dad paid for the wedding. And so there wasn't a bunch of money that came in. And I don't know, it's a lot different nowadays than it was back then. We might have got some money for the wedding, but it wasn't enough to, you know, do some stupendous honeymoon. So we, and I only had a little time off work, and we're in Bible college, and so we went to Hannibal, Missouri, that destination point for all honeymoon couples, and I don't know, we might have stayed in a Red Roof Inn or something like that, but there was no honeymoon suite, I'll promise you that much. And but then we went to the Mark Twain Cave. I blush. I get embarrassed to think that we, what are you going to do in Hannibal, Missouri? And so it's where Mark Twain grew up. And so we went to the Mark Twain Cave. And here we are, a couple of lovebirds and newlywed, you know. And we're going down to this cave with all these folks. And they get down there. And it's lit up with, you know, artificial light. And then all of a sudden they say, you know, it's this dark in here. And they now be prepared. And they turn the lights on. I'm going to tell you something, man. It was dark. Yeah, anybody ever been to that cave, Mark Twain Cave? Did you go there on your honeymoon? Anybody ever been there on your honeymoon? Anybody do anything worse than that for a honeymoon? Sending? Uh-oh, okay, all right. So, well, anyway, I don't feel too bad then. But so they turned all the, did they turn the lights out on you guys? When you're, my, you talk about dark. Now, you've heard the expression, it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's how it was. Couldn't see. Dark. No light. And that's how it's described in the Bible When people who are in darkness in sin, the darkness of this world, if they leave this world in that darkness, they go from darkness to a place of outer darkness. Can you imagine a place on the backside of eternity where there's no light? That's horrible. Horrible. When I stop to think about it, I don't like to think about it. But that's a horrible, horrible destination. A place of outer darkness, on the backside of darkness, if you will, where no light. We read that verse over in Exodus about Moses being on the backside of the desert. Brother, I'll tell you something. That place is Sun City compared to outer darkness and the backside of darkness if somebody goes into eternity lost. So unsaved people are described as being lost. Number two, I want to say this tonight. This is nothing fancy or new tonight, folks. Just a reminder. There are sources of light for those who are in darkness. There are sources of light for those who are in darkness. Yes, this is a time of darkness, no doubt about it, but thank God, this is not a time of outer darkness yet, and there are sources of light for those in darkness. And I want to give you three real quickly. I think, first of all, about Jesus Christ. Jesus is a source of light. Listen to these verses in John 1:4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 1:9, talking about Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Sometimes people will say, what do you think? Is it fair for people who've never heard the gospel and never had an opportunity to be saved, never heard a message or a sermon from the Bible, to stand before God and be sent to hell when they never heard the gospel message? John 1:9, Jesus was that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every person has some light. Every person has some light. Every person has, and how they respond to that light depends on if God sends them more light. And Jesus is the true light. John 8 and verse 12. Familiar. I am the light of the world. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world. So Jesus Christ is a source of light for a dark world and for individuals in darkness. You think about Jesus Christ for a little bit here. The light of the glory of God was enrobed in human flesh. Now, I don't like these songs that either say or imply that when Jesus came from heaven, He left His glory up there, left His deity up there, and came in the form of a man. Brother, He came in the form of a man, but He brought that deity with Him. He brought that glory with Him. He was full of grace and truth. And even though Jesus did not lay aside His glory when He came, His glory was somewhat obscured by His human body. Case in point, do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and other places, Peter, James, and John went up there with Jesus, and He was transformed, He was transfigured before them. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 17 that Jesus was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as light. And I think, friend, that's a picture of His true glory, unobscured by human flesh. But who could look upon Him? In that, have you ever gazed into the sun on a bright and cloudless day when the sun is brilliant in the sky and gazed up and tried to look directly into the sun? Have you ever tried to do that? You can't do it. And boy, you're blinded by it. And when you close your eyes and turn away, there's still that little ball of light, it seems like burning in your eyeball. And they couldn't look at Jesus if His true glory was exposed and not obscured by human flesh. For a little bit of time there, God allowed His full glory to be in full view, and His face did shine as the sun, His raiment as white light. Think about Acts chapter 9 and Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And he saw the glorified Jesus. And do you remember when he saw the glorified Jesus, there was a bright light that shone from heaven? I truly believe, you know that Saul became Paul. You know that Paul had eye trouble. You know that he had some kind of eye disease. And I truly believe and wonder if it didn't happen on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 there, when with his natural eyes he saw the glorified and lifted up Jesus Christ, and it did some permanent damage to his eyes when he saw Jesus Christ. I'm just simply saying that Christ is a source of light. He's a source of light. Remember, I think next, I think about this book right here. I think about the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Hold your place there. And look at the New Testament book of 2 Peter. I just want to show you one phrase here in a verse that you're familiar with. Remind you about it tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only is Jesus Christ a source of light, but the Word of God is a source of light as well. Toward the end of 2 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about the surety of God's written Word. He says that God's written Word is more sure than the audible voice of God, which spoke from heaven when Jesus was baptized and on that Mount of Transfiguration. And he says about the Word of God, look what he says in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. There it is. Now watch what he says. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, talking about the Bible, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Do you see that? That's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Bible. Talking about the written Word of God. He said, you do well to take heed unto it as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. How the Bible is a book of light for those who are in darkness. This book right here is a source of light for people in darkness. I said this past Wednesday night, gave the illustration and won't retell it, about John Payton or Patton, I think it probably is pronounced Payton, who took the gospel to the New Hebrides Islands. And I wish I could remember that, and I won't repeat that, but I wish I could remember the name of the Indian tribe down in the remote mountain areas of South America that I read about years and years ago, and how that the missionaries from America went there with the gospel message. And this place, they were so remote, they'd never seen a white man. And never been exposed to the Bible. And when the missionaries got there and began to try to witness and preach, they realized that these people knew nothing. They knew nothing about the Word of God. And so they started in Genesis chapter 1. And they started with the story of creation. And they laid the foundation that there was a God that created everything with the power of His Word, and that we are accountable to that God. And they went through the Old Testament and showed how that Jesus, how this God would send a Messiah, a Savior someday to the world. And they went through all the Old Testament. They never gave an invitation. Never did. They would meet with those people and tell those Bible stories. I mean, just little simple things about the Bible through all the Old Testament came to the birth of Christ in the New Testament and taught about the birth of Christ, taught about the life of, never gave an invitation. You're talking weeks and weeks and weeks of teaching and preaching, never giving an invitation. And then they got down to the time when Jesus was arrested, and they got Jesus before Pilate. I wish you could hear the missionary tell the story. And he said when they got to talking about Pilate and how Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, that the natives stood up and started clapping and stomping their feet because they were excited, because they loved Jesus. Jesus was the promised Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. Here was a man, Pilate, who was defending him. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't know it all. So here they think, this guy's great. He's defending the Lord Jesus. He's trying to set Him free. And they began to cheer and to clap. They knew nothing. And then, of course, they went on with the crucifixion and the resurrection. And that missionary said, on the day that they started teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how that after 3 days and three nights, He walked out of that tomb alive, having conquered sin, death, and the grave, that those native men stood up and said, "This, we got it, we see it, we want to be saved." No invitation was ever given. And they, you know what brought them to Christ, friend? The light of that book right there. The light of that book, it's a great source of light. You know, we hear about Martin Luther, we understand Martin Luther, and how he read the Word of God, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. He's ensconced in a religion of works and do and do and do and do and do. But he reads in the Bible where the just shall live by faith, and crawling up the stairs there on his knees, he says, the just shall live by faith. And he runs to his room and writes the 95 Theses and nails it to the door of the church there. And I believe it was Wittenberg, and how he trusted the Lord Jesus by faith to save him. That's a wonderful story. Closer to us is the story of this Catholic priest who preached right down 17 miles from here in the city of St. Anne, Charles Chiniquy. I've mentioned him often. You go down to St. Anne, there's still Chiniqui Boulevard down there. You go to St. Anne, that's where the first Catholic church in this area was started. It was started by Charles Chiniqui, who migrated from Quebec, Canada, with a Catholic congregation and started the first Catholic church in the Midwest, right down here in St. Anne. And he started reading the Bible, and reading the Bible, and reading. 50 years a Catholic priest. 50 years a Catholic priest. And after reading the Bible, went to his congregation right down here in St. Anne years ago in the late 1800s and stood before his congregation in St. Anne, numbering about 1,000 people, they said, in those days. And he stood up and he said, "People, I have an announcement to make. Last night I was in my room and I realized after reading the Scripture that salvation is not in the sacraments. And salvation is not in penance. And salvation is not in the rituals of religion. I realize that salvation is the free gift of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I love the gift. I've received the gift. And I love the giver." And he said, "I walked in my room last night saying over and over again, I love the gift. I received the gift. And I love the giver." And that man became a Presbyterian in St. Anne and had a Presbyterian church. And many of that Catholic congregation went with him and was converted to Jesus Christ. What brought him to Christ? The light of that book right there. The light of that book right there. The Bible is a source of light. Jesus is a source of light. The Bible is a source of light. I think thirdly, saved people are a source of light. Saved people. John 8:12. Jesus speaking, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Those who get saved have the light of Christ, the light of eternal life abiding in them. John 12:46, "I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus said in John 9:5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let me ask you a question, not a trick question. Is Jesus in the world today, personally? No, He's in His body. He's seated at the right hand of His Father in heaven, where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank God for that. He's our advocate. He appears before God on our behalf. When Satan comes to accuse us and tells God to kill us, and tells God to disown us and abandon us, Jesus steps in as our advocate, our lawyer, says, "Father, you can't do that. They've been saved and redeemed and washed in the blood of my sacrifice." Now, Jesus is not in the world today. Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world." Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I don't think I need to belabor this point tonight. There are sources of light for those who are in darkness. Jesus is a source of light. The Word of God is a source of light. And saved people are sources of light. Now listen, unsaved people are referred to as being in darkness. There are sources of light for those who are in darkness. I want to say number three tonight. Darkness, the darkness needs starlight till daylight. The darkness needs starlight till daylight. In our text verse tonight, Daniel 12, the Bible says, "They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever." Daylight would be a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daylight. When daylight comes, there is no need of the starlight. But people, until daylight comes, the darkness has to have starlight. You and I have the opportunity to be starlight in this dark, dark, dark world. You know, I announced this theme some weeks ago, and one of the young ladies in the church sent me an email. She said that she read this little quote, and I'll read some of it to you. This person said, "There are stars whose radiance is visible on Earth, though they have long been extinct." Now think about that. There are stars. I would suppose so far, far out there in the universe, and eons ago, if you will, of time, they sent their light this direction, toward planet Earth, and that light has been traveling from that star. And that star is burnt out, but its light is still having an impact on planet Earth. And she said, just like that, there are people whose brilliance continues to light the world, though they are no longer among the living. I think when I read that, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be a Christian not only who gives starlight now, but even after my passing, if Jesus stays in heaven and I leave this world by way of the grave, I'd love to have a testimony that continues to shine like starlight after I'm gone. You know, I've been thinking about Darrell Champlin. I told you that he passed away. Now, you think about that. We lost two missionary men in the month of August. Lost Josh Wesson, who was on the young side of life at age 41. And then Darrell Champlin at age 83, 60 years of service there, over 60. I think about his wife, Louise. And you know what I regret? I would think that probably most of the congregation here never got to hear Darrell Champlin. He was here in our church several times before I came and after I came. And I think he was here once in our new auditorium after we had this built. I think about his wife, Louise. We had my wife and I ate with them, and she was a precious lady. You know, she's from a missionary family. Her dad was Herbert Grings, G-R-I-N-G-E-S. Look it up. Herbert was a missionary to the Belgian Congo in Africa years and years and years ago to tribes of people who had never heard. And it's a very interesting story. In fact, there's a book written about his life. I think his kids wrote it, and Louise Champlin was one of the ones that contributed to it. And in that book, it tells how that they had nobody saved, preached the gospel, had nobody saved, and then his wife died. Mr. Grings' wife passed away, and he buried his wife. And those native men watched how he buried his wife. And someday after that, I think it was five men, leaders of the village, came to him and basically said, "We saw how you buried your wife, and how you buried your wife is so different from how we bury our dead. Tell us about your God. We want to know your God." And boy, I think those men got saved. And that was the beginning. And then he went on to tell how that later on, those same men, they came back to him and they said, "We need to work." And he said, "Why do you need to work?" And they said, "We need some money." "Why do you need money?" "Well, we need to buy some soap." They'd never taken a bath. They didn't know anything about hygiene and cleanliness. But the gospel, the word of God, and the witness of a faithful missionary. And they came back again sometime later and said, "We need some work." "Why do you need some work?" "We need some money." "Why do you need some money?" "We need to buy some clothes." Isn't that amazing? America's trying to take clothes off. They're trying to put clothes on. American Christians trying to take clothes off. They get saved. They're trying to put clothes on. You know what that is, folks? That's starlight. That's starlight. That's the source of light. Think about it. All three sources of light working together. Here's a man who's a witness for the Lord Jesus, his testimony, his words, his life. And even in the dark hours of his own life, his testimony was a witness for God. And he's got the book of light. And he's talking about the source of light, Jesus Christ. And he's starlight. And boy, those people began to get saved. And a great ministry was carried forth there in the Belgian Congo. I've had the privilege to be on the mission fields, several of them. And I'll only talk for a moment about the ones represented from our church. I had the privilege to be in the Bahamas and to be at Gospel Light Baptist Church, where Jason and Heather are there and their family. And to tell you, friends, that there's a group of people down there. Oh, they got some of them that were already saved, but there's a group of people down there, many of whom have come to Christ. And boy, they're excited about serving God. I got to be in that church and see the result of starlight. I've been to Oriol, Russia, and know the numbers in Oriol, Russia are not what they are in Mexico City and other places. But there's a little group of people there, and slowly they get added to, one at a time, over several months, one at a time. In fact, Brother Osworthy just sent a letter out about a fellow that got saved right before they left for furlough and came to the States. And I was in that little congregation of Russian believers and talked to Alex, who came to Christ through Brother Osworthy's. You know what that was the result of? Starlight. Starlight. I've been to Mexico City at Clint Reardon's church. I've not been in their new building. I was there with them right before their little girl. Was her name Abigail? Jeff, was that her? I think it was, wasn't it? Little girl died. Their little baby girl passed away. And I was there right before that happened. And I've seen Clint Reardon's work there. And those Mexican people who've been saved, that's a result of Starlight. I've been to Argentina when Keith Harrison and Judy were there on the field and preached not only in the conference but in the church and saw those people, those happy Christians, the result of Starlight. I've been to Madagascar and had a wonderful time there this past March. And even though you were not there for a good reason, all the blessing that came to my heart to be in those services on those two Sundays and hear those people sing and see those people excited about being saved. You know what that's the result of? That's the result of Starlight. 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 All the world needs Starlight. Starlight till daylight. This world is in darkness. As corporately and as individuals, the darkness needs Starlight. Two Tuesday nights ago, Ben and I went out together and we made a visit on some folks and it was just a man and his wife and a couple of kids, two or three kids, and we were there, and it was so difficult. It was, those kids were, and they were just being kids, but they were extra super rowdy and pumped. And they were bouncing off the walls, and the husband and wife sitting there. And I'll be honest with you, I almost gave up on the plan of salvation. I really thought to myself, this is a waste of time. And this isn't doing a bit of good. And I kind of glanced over at Ben. He was trying to corral the kids. And he couldn't take them out of the room because the parents didn't know him or know us real well. So I almost just said, you know what, folks, I'll tell you what. We'll make another time come talk to you. But, you know, he was praying. And I was, God, what should I do? And all of a sudden, and I'm not making this up, it got so strangely quiet. And everything just settled down. It just calmed down. And I took that as a green light from God to pursue. And I started talking a little bit about the scripture that I was dealing with. And the lady asked a question that provided an opportunity for me to give an answer. And pretty soon that lady, her eyes were filled with tears. And I was talking about Christ and how Christ gave His life to save her and to save her husband and to save everybody. And her eyes filled with tears. And she sweetly said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And boy, you know, her husband didn't get saved and he had his excuses. And I tried to talk with him, but, you know, I'm not going to twist an arm and try to get a prayer out of somebody that has no meaning and no sincerity. But that lady, and she works every Sunday, and she works from the time her hours at work on Sunday. And I am pulling my hair out. What do we do about this? People locked into work schedules where they're forced to miss the morning and the evening services. And locked in. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I have some ideas flipping around in my mind, but I want to tell you something. It's serious. And they can't get but sweetly. And she was so tender and so responsive and got in the car. And I said to Ben, I said, man, I almost quit. He said, I could tell. I could tell, Dad. I could tell you almost quit. But, you know, it just seemed like God came and everything settled down and the darkness was put to rest and the light of the gospel took over. And that lady was sweetly saved. Starlight. Missions Conference. We want to send Starlight to the darkened areas of this world. We have a man coming who's with Rock of Ages. We've not had anybody from Rock of Ages for several years. That great prison ministry. Brian Heath is coming. He's involved in it. And we want to send Starlight to the darkened souls who are in prison. Kenya. Luke Shelby is coming from Kenya. He's been there. He's a veteran missionary. Been there for a number of years and has a good work. And he will take the light of the gospel, has, to Kenya. The Ferraris are coming to Argentina, where they will take the star. There'll be Starlight in the darkness there. The Smiths, Ben Smith and his wife, coming out of Brother Scott Hanks' place. Brother Buttrell here this morning is Mrs. Hanks' dad. That was her parents, Stacia Hanks' parents. And the boy from their church is coming. He's going to the South Sudan. And, of course, Jason and Heather. And we want to send Starlight. We want to be Starlight right here. And through missions, we want to send Starlight to the uttermost parts of the earth. We want to be involved in going. We want to be involved in going. If we're not going to be involved in going, we've got to be involved in giving. It's God's will for everybody to be involved as Starlight and send Starlight. The darkness needs Starlight. I read where somewhere in the South Sea Islands, there is a little grave that marks the body of a missionary who came there years ago. And there's an epitaph that is written on that grave. And the natives were the ones who wrote this epitaph on the little marker that marks this missionary's grave. His name is not on there, but this is what the epitaph says on the marker. Quote, Before He came to us, there was no light. After He went away, there was no darkness. I thought, wow. I read that this week. Before He came to us, there was no light. After He went away, there was no darkness. Some of you, no doubt, have heard this little story. And I try to check the veracity of things that you read. Not everything you read on the internet is true. You know that. But I've heard other preachers tell it, and I guess if they tell it, it has to be some truth to it. Maybe there is. You probably heard it. But Robert Louis Stevenson, you know, he wrote a bunch of kids' books and classic books. He was the one, I think, that wrote the book Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson. And he grew up in, I think it was London, it's in Edinburgh, Scotland. That's where it was, Edinburgh, Scotland, in the 19th century. And they said as a boy, Robert was intrigued by the work, now hear this, of the lamplighters. This is before the days of electricity. And they had the gas lights, torches that were out along the ways, the avenues, before the days of all the modern lighting. And these lamplighters were men who would take a ladder and a torch when the evening came. And they would go down the streets, set the ladder up right next to the lamp post. And with their torch, they would climb, take the glass off and light the lamp. Put the glass back on. Go to the next one. And do the same thing. Until all the lights on the avenue, the road, were lit. And said Robert Louis Stevenson, as a boy, was just mesmerized by their work. And one night, he was there in the house and just watching with such intensity as those lamplighters would go and light the glass, light the light on the lamppost. And a nurse or his parents or somebody said to him, said, "What are you watching? What are you looking at?" And he said, he responded this, what he said, "Look at that man. He's punching holes in the darkness. He's punching holes in the darkness." My friend, that's what we want to do. We want to punch a hole in the darkness. This world corporately is in darkness. Individuals are in darkness. But Jesus is the source of light. And the Word of God is the source of light. And you and I are a source of light. "And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever and ever." I don't know about you, but I'd like to finish my course being starlight. Starlight till daylight. If all we do is punch a hole in the darkness, that's a little less darkness that's out there every time a lamp is lit. Starlight till daylight. Missions conference comes around. You know, it's been 18. I'm looking forward to it starting. I really am. I think sometimes when you don't have an emphasis on missions, you miss a conference, you turn internal. Everybody's mind and eyes gets turned inside. And Jesus said to lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're wide already to harvest. Starlight till daylight. It's time for us to focus our attention, our minds, our hearts on the fact that there's seven plus billion people on planet Earth right now, most of whom are in darkness. Starlight till daylight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you please prepare us for this important time? Lord, missions conferences aren't new to us, and speakers and missionaries coming. It's something we've done for years and years and years. But Lord, it ought to bring a fresh excitement and a fresh awareness of the need that's out there. So Lord, help us, please. I pray that we'll be starlight till daylight, personally, with a personal witness. And I pray that God will be involved in sending missionaries to be starlight till daylight. May we be involved in this great work and this great ministry until Jesus comes or until He calls us home by way of the grave. I pray in Jesus' name. Church, I just ask you tonight, would you please present your heart afresh and anew to God? I know Missions Conference is familiar. I know that. I know the flags, the decor, for the most part, is familiar. The schedule, the missionaries, the presentations. I know it's familiar. But I'll tell you, the need is so great. Starlight till daylight. Would you let God work? Maybe He's calling, working in the hearts of some to go. I trust that He'll work in all of our hearts to give. Starlight till daylight, punching holes in the darkness. that's in this world. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll have an invitation time. You allow the Lord to speak to you tonight, please. We won't belabor it.